Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
The first reading for the second Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 4. The full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading, the epistle, is from 1 John chapters 1 and 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord. I invite you to stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. We sing the sermon song, We Walk by Faith. You may be seated.
Christ is risen.
He has risen indeed.
Alleluia. It is certainly good to see all of you here, especially since Easter is over. Sort of. Last Sunday's full-on celebration of the day of resurrection is past for the year, but Easter is definitely not. Our church year gives us 6 more Sundays of Easter in this season, but not even that's enough, as Pastor mentioned at the beginning. Every Sunday throughout the church year is considered a little Easter. That's why in Lent it's called Sundays in Lent and not of Lent. Christians worship on Sunday because Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. So Easter still matters in the church calendar, but what difference does it make in our lives? I mean, Easter Sunday can certainly create an emotional high, great music, powerful preaching, certainly a church that's more close to capacity. We can get excited about that. But what about this Sunday? Or the next Sunday? Or the one after that? Because pretty soon we can get back to the same old, same old, same old. Our text for today shows what a difference it made in the lives of the first Christians. And boy, what a difference it was. People sold all their property and gave it to the apostles for the relief of the needy. Did you hear that? People sold all their property and gave it to the apostles for the relief of the needy so that there would be no needy person among them. Hard to believe, isn't it? I mean, what's mine is mine. That's a lot more common. Honestly, much more natural way of thinking and full on much more believable. If you have a need, maybe I'll do something about it. I hope I will. It's not a sure thing. After all, I have needs too, you know. Bills got to get paid. Got things to buy. Got retirement to save for. Lots and lots of stuff, you know. You can't really expect me to take care of you. In this world, you're on your own. Oh, yeah, maybe I'll help out because the government takes taxes, but, you know, that kind of thinking is really easy for us to understand. After all, we do it all the time. And not only us. So does everybody else. And it's not even really anything new. You know, the ancients used to argue about whether the sun traveled around the earth or the earth around the sun, but they were both wrong. Because not only the earth or the sun, but really the entire universe goes around me. I'm the center of it all. My hopes, my desires, my fears, my thinking, it all centers on me, not you. And so often, not even God, just me. And we call that sin. And Satan's first attempt to Eve, or temptation to Eve, was to replace God with herself. You shall be like God, the devil told her. Wasn't exactly true, but ever since, the devil's been repeating this lie, and humans have been falling for it all the time. We define our own values. We define our own rules. We do what pleases ourselves, including with our possessions. We make gods out of ourselves and the stuff that we have. I earned it. I bought it. And I'm going to do what I want with it because it's mine. But at its core, that's too is a lie. What we have in this life depends entirely on the goodness and gifts of God. Our talents, our opportunities, our successes, they are all part of the providence of God. And then on top of that, you add what Paul wrote so clearly to Timothy, which holds true in every generation. We brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out. Of course, Eve soon discovered that Satan's temptation was a dead end, quite literally. And so do we, every one of us. We think we are in charge until we're not, and then it's too late. The wages of sin is death. It all ends in the grave. Until it doesn't. For Christ is risen. Hallelujah. The wages of sin is indeed death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the first difference that Easter makes. Our Lord's resurrection overcame the penalty of sin and death because of the crucifixion. He totally overcame sin itself. He took sin upon himself, starting with the sin of Eve and then Adam and every last one of his descendants, including those yet to come. But now, Jesus is alive. I just asked the no longer doubting Thomas. Our God and our Lord is alive. Sin has been paid for. Death has been overcome. Everything is different now because of Easter. Because of Easter, we know what Jesus said about God is true. That he actually is our loving Father. When we were dead in our trespasses and sins, he took the initiative to redeem us. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things? Our Heavenly Father takes his perfect, tender, loving care of us. He provides for us. And at the end of this life, he welcomes us into the next, into the paradise about which Jesus promised to the penitent thief on the cross. Yeah, the devil is still lurking around, to be sure, and sin certainly rears its ugly head, but neither the devil nor sin can take away what we have in Christ, a God who thoroughly loves, cares, and provides for us. And that's why those first Christians could respond as they did to the needs of others, because Christ had freed them from self-interest. God had filled their hearts with his love, and that love overflowed to others, especially to those who were of the household of faith, to those who were the full number of the ones who believed. The full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Immediately following our text today, Luke then introduces a man named Joseph. He was given a new name by the apostles, Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. And this is how he probably got that title. This son of encouragement was an example of one of those to whom the Easter proclamation changed his life forever. He not only sold his property for the relief of the needy, that was just the start. Barnabas also became one of the greatest missionaries of the apostolic church. He took great risks for the sake of the gospel. It's amazing, the son of encouragement, when no one wanted anything to do with the freshly converted Saul, now Paul. Everybody's terrified him, except Barnabas goes and meets with Paul. Barnabas befriends him when everyone else is afraid. And when they were hearing that the gospel was reaping fruit up in Antioch, the Jerusalem church, you know who they sent? The son of encouragement to go there and help continue the work there. And it's while he is there that Barnabas actually recruits Paul. When the Spirit indicated that Paul's missionary journeys were to begin, he also called Barnabas to that work. And Barnabas shared in all the challenges and trials of that first missionary journey, including persecution in Antioch, of Poseidon, and in Iconium. Along with Paul, Barnabas was mistaken for a god in Lystra, where they were then once again persecuted. Nevertheless, you know what they did? They went back and they visited those places in order to strengthen the faithful and in order to appoint elders in the church. After returning to Antioch, Barnabas, along with Paul, they defend the Gentile mission against those who only want to go to the lost sheep of Israel. Barnabas and Paul separate after that, with the former continuing his mission by going to Cyprus. And church tradition tells us, that Barnabas ended up dying a martyr's death, killed because of his confession in the resurrected Christ. What a difference Easter can make. Now, we live in different financial times, and it doesn't indicate that this being able to hold everything in common continued for very long, because, well, sin usually ruins all sorts of things. And you know, in our day and age, maybe some of the core physical needs, such as having food, aren't as pressing, though there are many who would argue about that. But you know, in addition to those basics, people still have other needs as well. Respect, companionship, purpose, identity, security, meaning. How good are we at supplying those kinds of things to others who are especially here in the fellowship of this congregation? Since God takes care of us, He frees us to care for others. That doesn't mean just giving our money, our time, our talents, our energies, our love, our care, our concern. Being shared with one another in response to whatever challenges life brings. Two real quick, simple examples. I get this question. Now, I'm not discouraging the question. I'm just trying to give you a little different approach. Hey, Pastor, who was that sitting behind so-and-so? I got a little different approach for you. Step out on a limb and introduce yourself. Hi, I'm Jim. I'm not too sure if we've met before. The person may be a visitor. They may be a longtime member just like yourself. But you know, it is one of the simplest things we can do to help people feel a part of the community of saints here at St. John's. Another simple little thing. It's also a little bit of a plug for the Monday message email. If you're not on the email list, it's something we send out each week. And one of the things we include in the Monday message is those that we've prayed for. A quick phone call. A card with a nice little greeting. Again, it can go a long ways to simply encourage people to create this unity of the Spirit, to be one of heart and soul. There are a lot of ways, big and small, that Easter makes a difference in our lives. And it may actually sound like this is a little bit more of a stewardship Sunday type of sermon. But these first Christians, they give us this example that we can't ignore. Not now and not ever. Easter means something. Easter makes a difference in the lives of those who believe. So what about you? What difference does it make that Christ is risen? Alleluia. Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.